One of the advantages of having literally years of retrospective built up is that you start to study your life and find parallels, inspirations, and connections that lead to understanding better what got you where you are. To that end, there's one event in my life that seems to have had a real outsize effect on myself, the aesthetics that I like, and the things that I do. And that one thing is Photon. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Peter Healy, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. The only reason I even knew about Photon was because my friend Dan, the Data Master, proposed that we all take a trip down there and play the game. I had seen commercials for laser tag in various degrees, usually some sort of plastic thing you would wear on your chest and get for Christmas and forget about somewhere by March. It would be cheap, unreliable, basically a toy. But Dan said that Photon was different, that this was a whole new level of gaming, and he was more than willing to drive us there. At the time, I didn't have much information about the history of Photon, how it came to be, and so I got to experience it in what I consider to be an ideal situation, because I just looked at the finalized product and thought that it had risen out of the earth in one piece. Kenilworth, New Jersey was two things: a bit of a haul from where I lived, about an hour and a half away, and it was also no great shakes in terms of a town. It was a strip mall kind of place when we drove in. Photon was just another one of the businesses in the strip mall, just a big logo with a space theme where you could easily have a hairdresser or a buffet restaurant or anything else. Inside, though, it was special. I was very young at this time. I was not used to going to pre-made places of entertainment where, from the ground up, they were trying to give you some sort of an experience. Photon was doing its best to do this. You would walk in and there was a huge lobby, and there was a sense that you were entering a sort of a depot that had many different games going on, and you were going to sign up and then become a member, and you would be coming back on a frequent basis and seeing where your position was in the rankings and all of the different leaderboards. In other words, it was sort of the idea behind a bowling alley, while also having this pretty incredible space theme running through it. In fact, when you first joined up, they created an ID card for you, this pink card with your photograph on it of a young and weaselly little kid that was going to go around and shoot guns inside of a room. If you haven't heard of Photon or laser tag, you've probably seen some version of it, either in pop culture or one of its electronic descendants, like multiplayer fighting games. Photon was that. Here, very quickly, is how this would work out. You would be loaded into a room, and there would be a recruitment tape that you would watch that would explain to you how to use the equipment, how to avoid making mistakes with it, how to not get damaged, rules about not climbing up on top of things and not hitting other people, and just walking you through what the lights would do in your helmet when you got hit, and how basically to be a player in about 5 minutes. You'd be led into a room. The room itself would be a maze of obstacles and hallways and staircases, and of course, lights and a smoke machine would complete the feeling. Again, I'm not sure I'm talking to anybody out there who hasn't already become aware of laser tag, But back in the 80s, this was a brand new idea. This was incredible that you would be able to mount up into some sort of space fantasy and shoot at your friends and enemies and be able to play a variety of games this way. We played a bunch of games that day. I don't remember my score. I don't remember how well I did with my friends. I do know I enjoyed it very much. The thrill of getting a bead on somebody, of surprising them, of faking people out, going around a corner, seeing somebody was coming, running the other way. All of the amazing feelings you get when you know somebody is out to get you, you're out to get somebody, and you have a weapon. We came off that first day of Photon, and I was hooked. But between my lack of a license and the distance that we had to travel to get to Photon, we only went there a few more times. I kept my card in my wallet for years. I loved having this identification that said that I was a gamer. Over time, Photon faded. The company went under. For me, it was a pure experience of just my teenage years. I couldn't go back to that Photon in my 30s and 40s and 50s and be able to experience it and maybe look at it with older eyes. It lives on as a dream of something that I experienced decades ago. And this, I think, is part of why it's had such an undue influence on me. To get the feeling of a multi-layer maze, the entire place was covered in a sort of black carpet, like a speaker enclosure. Every surface and staircase and archway, it was all in this cheap carpeting that was meant to provide both sound padding as well as some small amount of protection for people slamming against it. But I really loved that look. The darkness, the mystery, and the padding gave everything a muffled sound. So even when there was rock music blasting, it all still felt very, very quiet. A kind of grace and polish, well beyond what it really was, which was a room full of wood and carpet. The design of the experience also affected me. Photon was designed to be a sort of ersatz feeling of going into space battle. As a result, it had just enough neon, just enough signage, so that when you walked in, you sort of felt that it was space you were dealing with. Once you went into the orientation room, that also had a sense of science fiction. Then, and only then, would you be walked into the arena. So the arena was itself presented to you as one of three different chambers that you hung around with in the story. This was incredibly influential and exciting to me, and I can only think of how many times I've tried to make the presentation of technology and the presentation of artifacts be as important as the artifacts themselves, to give signals to people that this is a moment they should cherish, or something special they should experience. The story of Photon itself is, of course, much more complicated, well beyond my ability to tell in any meaningful way. The build quality of the helmets and the guns and the equipment was far beyond what it needed to be, but it was something that was being aimed for by the original company to be part of a franchise so that it could last through hundreds or thousands of games with not too much repair or easy fixing as things went on, and get them back into play as soon as possible, overbuilt for what it was. In the years since, I've seen other laser tag setups, especially on boardwalks and at amusement parks, and of course, they've long ago figured out how to optimize the experience for cheap. The mazes seem to be built out of fabric, not really wood and carpeting and metal, either out of safety or just being able to set it up or clean it really quickly. The guns themselves are a fraction of the weight and the feel of the originals. And of course, none of these give you an incredible orientation beyond somebody who works there yelling out a few basic rules before you go in. I'm sure it's fun. Nothing's more fun than stalking other people in a game, but it's not the same immersive experience that I had. It was mind-blowing to be put into a box of darkness, something that I loved in arcades. So, of course, seeing it writ large as an arena and some sort of version of sports was just as compelling. A more unexpected influence on me because of laser tag was the filming and making of a documentary called Lightsport, created by a guy named Vince, where Vince went around and interviewed a whole bunch of people involved with the creation and maintenance and work of Photon. He basically told the whole Photon story from behind the scenes. It's a simple affair, hardly something created with a full professional backing. It was something Vince did on the side. But it's pretty entertaining, and I learned an incredible amount about this game I had enjoyed in my early teens. Talking with Vince about his production, I realized I could make a documentary someday. I could probably grab a camera, get some stories, edit them together. I remember having lots of conversations with Vince at the time, just trying to understand how did he magically put together a documentary. And Vince, thankfully, had no problem giving me as much information as I asked for. Talking to Vince helped me realign whether or not I could make a documentary by myself. And as a result, a few years later, I most certainly did. Looking back now, decades later, I can see all of these different experiences involved with Photon having such an influence on me, telling me that there were ways to portray the world simply and elegantly, that you could take a little extra effort and really make something memorable. People who've been to Photon in the past, before it got remade, rebooted, and made into a cheap version of its previous self, have some of the strongest memories of their life. On social media, and I've done this experiment, you can start talking about Photon, and people will literally start posting their Photon IDs. They've scanned them, or they still have them in their wallet, or somewhere on their desk, for something they did decades previously. That tells you it stuck with them. And so, somewhere in there, born of carpeting, black paint, smoke machines, and heavy plastic, a dream was set off, an aesthetic of loving darkness with a little bit of light shining through, catching your eye, making you look in a different direction, and coming away feeling like something had been set up for you, like a bunch of rooms, moving from one to another to open up more and more of the story, make you aware, give you ideas, leave the possibility open for you to add your own character and your own feeling to it, and then walk away feeling like you were part of something and wanting to get back there as soon as possible. Thanks a lot, Photon. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Emilio Oliveira, Forrest Fuqua, James Bigquianu, Mark Pilgrim, Scott Roseanne, Scott McGrady, and Corey Thomas, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who've been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Back when I attended a Halo event in Chicago, my friend Kyle and I discovered a nearby laser tag place called iCombat. It was fun. The weapons were pretty cool. The layout felt like a sort of institutional army feel more than one of space and frontiers beyond. And I found out later something I'm not 100% on board for, which was iCombat, which is the company that was running this facility, was primarily designed for SWAT team training. The weapons were meant to give you the reload and the feel of real weapons, because they were going to be used by SWAT teams to run through various drills. And I do have to say that at Eye Combat, there wasn't a smoke machine in sight. So I'm going to have to knock off a star.